The Kinship of Catholics and Jews is a program sponsored by the Institute of Judeo-Christian Studies, Seton Hall University. I'm Father Lawrence Frizzell. I'm the director of the Institute and moderator of this program. Today, my colleague and co-worker, Mr. Jay Wolderman, will interview me about two of the encyclicals of Pope Francis. And we're commemorating the 10th anniversary of Pope Francis becoming the Holy Father in the year 2013. So, Mr. Wolderman, I'm glad to have you with me, and you can begin to ask me a question.
Thank you, Father Frizzell. The resignation of Pope Benedict XVI was unexpected, and yet Pope John Paul II was prepared for this possibility, no doubt with Cardinal Ratzinger's involvement. The election of the cardinal from Argentina was a second surprise. He came from afar, but his mother tongue was Italian. How did he take up the unique responsibility of the papacy?
So each person has his or her own style and approach to many aspects of life. And so, of course, each pope is unique in his strengths and limitations. And so, like all of us, the challenge of responding to the will of God is an enormous one. And it was not expected by Pope Francis that he would remain in Rome. He'd bought a return ticket to Buenos Aires, and so his ascent to the papal throne was indeed a surprise for him and for many others. But he took on the task in a way that emphasized a certain simplicity, and he chose as his name Francis. For the first time in the history of the church, we have the name of Francis. And of course, that brings to mind the patron saint. And we think, well, there are at least three named Francis. Two are Jesuits, and Pope Francis himself is a Jesuit. And so we have Francis Xavier, Francis Borgia, and Pope Francis insisted, of course, and drew attention to the fact that he had chosen the name Francis of Assisi. So the great saint of the 11th into the 12th century drew attention to the simplicity of life that Pope Francis was going to take upon himself. And he then remained in the Casa Santa Marta, the house dedicated to Saint Martha for her hospitality in the gospel. We have places for people to stay during conferences. And so Father John Morley and I were there in 1997 in the Casa Santa Marta and Pope Francis was there during the council, the conclave, preparing for the selection of the new pope, and he decided to remain in that building rather than go to the Apostolic Palace in another part of the Vatican. So this showed a certain simplicity, and he, of course, celebrates Mass there each morning, and at the beginning, he would offer a homily, as we would all do as presiding on a daily liturgy, and that homily was then shared with the world. And so this is a surprising way for the Pope to be instructing within the context of the liturgy. And there were some challenges, because sometimes the Holy Father's homily would not take into account the certain sensitivities that we should have with regard to the way the gospel is to be placed in a context. And so we have, as we do in our MA program here at Seton Hall, we emphasize that using the phrase the Pharisees, when Jesus is criticizing a group of people, is too much of a generalization, because there were many styles and many approaches among the people who called themselves Pharisees. That is, they were supplementing the written Torah, the written law of God, the five books of Moses, with oral interpretations, which had come down through the centuries. And that was the context within which they were interpreting the scriptures. And some of them did this very well. Others may have found a certain inconsistency between what they were teaching and what they were doing in their life. And that's the point that Jesus would criticize. So we have to be delicate in that regard. And I think the Holy Father had been guided to make sure that the instructions that he would give would resonate with a certain sense of the delicacy of the way in which the gospel sometimes gives the general term Pharisee or Sadducee without making necessary distinctions. Now, the Holy Father's entry into the world of communication on that level of the role of the successor of Peter took on a number of challenges. And of course, the response takes many forms besides this, the little homilies, which the Pope would give daily. There would be encounters with people, greetings at conferences, and so on. Many activities are being taken up into the Pope's work. And among those activities is the development of the highest form of teaching when it comes of an individual member of the papacy. That highest form is called an encyclical, a circular letter. And so so let's think about the way in which the idea of the encyclical developed.
So, Father, you've mentioned this encyclical and the circular letter. Can you remind us of some of the initial messages by Pope Francis?
And so the first encyclical that Pope Francis offered was a work of collaboration with his predecessor. Cardinal Ratzinger had become Pope Benedict XVI. And so he had written encyclicals on charity and on hope. And his third encyclical was being developed, but he resigned before it was promulgated. And so the encyclical on faith then was a collaborative effort. Pope Francis built on what Pope Benedict had been presenting in draft form, as it were. And so Pope Francis took up that challenge of reflecting on the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And they were discussed by Pope Benedict in reverse form. So the first one was on charity, the second, salvi spe, saved by hope, was the second encyclical of Pope Francis, of Pope Benedict. And now we have the encyclical on charity, which the encyclical on faith, which has the signature of Pope Francis. Now we are thinking about the circular letter, then, one which is addressed to a large number of people. And sometimes it's addressed to bishops, other times to a particular country, like the dramatic encyclical of Pope Pius XI, Mit Brennender Sorge, with burning anxiety. In March 1937, Pope Pius XI wrote an encyclical directed to the Catholics in Germany, and it was smuggled in. It was proclaimed on Palm Sunday as an oral presentation of the message, which was very obviously very critical of the Nazi regime. And so here we have other questions coming up over the century that followed. And among them is the encyclical, which gives us the reflection of Pope Francis on the in conditions of our world. And that encyclical is addressed to everyone. And so at times, an encyclical is addressed to all people of goodwill, such as Pope John the 23rd addressed the urgent need for peace in an encyclical called Pacem in Terris, peace in the world. And that was addressed to all people. And so Pope Francis did a similar thing when he offered the encyclical Laudato Si. Now, this encyclical, of course, is using the Italian introductory words to a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis is known as the patron saint of ecology, of people involved in environmental issues. And so that was given by Pope John Paul II to honor St. Francis in this way. And we look back to the prayer that he says that all creation is giving praise, giving laud and praise to God. And now we have in that encyclical the emphasis on the integral nature of everything in creation. So everything is connected in our world of of God's creation. And the idea of sensitivity in regard to the human responsibility that we have toward the rest of creation is emphasized in Pope Francis' work. And so here we have the emphasis that the world is in a greater danger than any time in the past of the exploitation by human beings that can upset certain rhythms of the created world and bring about a situation of grave danger. So this is how Pope Francis is addressing the issues that have been already approached by Pope Paul VI, Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict. We have in each one of these early papacies, we have documents about the questions relating to ecology. And Pope Francis emphasizes what he calls integral ecology, that there is a way of seeing how human beings are not only observers on the scene, but we are every aspect of our work in the human order is somehow related to the people around us and the rest of creation. So we'll think about this in the context of a discussion which we had here at Seton Hall. So Jay, if you could draw attention to that discussion.
In February 2016, Cardinal Peter Turkson from Ghana, but serving in the Justice and Peace Commission in Rome, came to Seton Hall and other universities to develop a response to this challenge. What do you recall about his visit?
So Pope Francis, of course, needed help to bring about the work of crafting a document as serious as this. And of course, he could draw upon his predecessors and upon the great work that Patriarch in Constantinople or Istanbul the patriarch of the Orthodox Christian communities. The Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew was already very much involved in ecological issues. And so here we have Pope Francis building on what had been done in the past among great church leaders, and also building upon this development. He wants us to develop a sensitivity toward the rest of the created world. And this calls for education, for spiritual growth, for a conversion of attitude, especially among peoples of the world that is exploiting creation in efforts to bring about developments that would be enhancing profit and good things for people in our own time, but not taking into consideration the impact on the future. So Cardinal Turkson was certainly involved in the writing of this encyclical as the Justice and Peace Commission, or it was really a Council for Justice and Peace eventually. That became the way in which Cardinal Turkson was preparing the ground, as it were, for the Pope's encyclical. And after the encyclical was promulgated, then he joined us here at Seton Hall to emphasize the importance of what this message would convey, and then how we could integrate the appreciation of these ecological issues into the various areas of theology and the understanding of the sciences, and how the contribution to making our world a better place for all, and not just for those who could exploit the resources for the short-term benefit. So here we are thinking of Cardinal Turkson's visit, where we found that he could articulate the message of the encyclical, summarize certain points, and then develop others to see how we can build on the teachings of the Holy Father with regard to this very integral question.
After meeting with the Grand Imam Ahmed Al-Tayyab in Abu Dhabi and promoting the development of human fraternity, Pope Francis published the encyclical Fratelli Tutti on Fraternity and Social Friendship on October 3rd, 2020. What is the significance of that date?
So the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, celebrated each year throughout the world, is on October the 4th. And so Pope Francis went to Assisi present this new encyclical, which was building on work that he had been doing orally and by his travels to the Middle East, so that collaboration, especially with people, leaders in the Muslim world, would be a foundation for not only joining with other great religious communities, the largest communities after the Christian world is, of course, the community of Muslims. And so here in Abu Dhabi, the Pope drew attention to the way in which we can collaborate on all the number of social issues with members of the Muslim communities. Now, he began this work then in meeting with the Grand Imam, who is, of course, the head of the great Muslim University in Cairo, And then he had a second visit to Iraq, in which he met one of the great leaders of the Shiite community. And so the two major branches of the Islamic world would be in touch with Pope Francis, sharing concerns that would be not only related to the Middle East questions of development and growth, but putting that in the context of other parts of the world as well. So this encyclical then, honoring St. Francis, as it is shared with the world just before his feast day, this encyclical takes up another theme of the way in which St. Francis was relating to the world in which he lived. And so we saw how St. Francis was celebrating, taking up the theme that we find in the Psalms of the Jewish scriptures and the Song of the Three Young Men in the Furnace, which is in the Catholic Bible in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And then continuity with that beautiful hymn of praising God, the church every Sunday takes aspects of the book of Daniel and integrates them into our morning prayer. So here we are seeing how Pope Francis has taken up themes of the mission of St. Francis himself, who went to Egypt tried to present the message of the gospel and the idea of the peacemaking developments of Christian faith in regard to the Muslim world, which of course had developed from the biblical roots, but have serious differences with Christianity. However, we are to see ourselves as brothers and sisters. And this encyclical of Pope Francis draws attention to human fraternity and relationships that are to be lived out on a social level of collaboration and working together in areas that we could see that the world in general would grow and be the beneficiary of our common sharing and common deeds. So let's think of...
So, Father, you had mentioned that Pope Francis drew attention to St. Francis in the title of the encyclical on ecology. The saint of Assisi offered a prayer in Italian that celebrates the celebrates creation in praise of God. Can you go into that a little bit?
So the theme of creation praising God, that every creature owes its existence to the mystery of God's creative power. And so that's why we see in the book of Daniel, as I had mentioned, that the various ranks of creation from the spiritual order down to the material and the great parts of creation like the sun and the moon, but also the little creatures and the littlest of God's created gifts are be seen as part of a great symphony, giving praise to God. And so that's how we should look at our relationship with the rest of creation, is that it is ultimately showing gratitude to the divine creator, and then, of course, showing appreciation in ways that will bring us into a deeper understanding of our particular role as human beings with the mystery of being created in the image and likeness of God, with the wonderful gifts of intellect and free will, But these great gifts, which are calling us to imitate God, have also the shadow side, that the gift of free will is such that people can fail and deviate from the role that they have as part of God's creation. So here we are drawing attention to the themes of prayer that become integral to the lives of billions of people in the Christian and Jewish Christian, Jewish, and Muslim traditions. So we're going to see how we're working together, hoping, as in the words of Saint Francis of Assisi, to draw attention to the way in which the human order, the human involvement in creation, is going to be reflecting the mystery of God's goodness and praise. So Pope Francis has been doing considerable work to draw attention to ways in which people can collaborate across religious and philosophical differences, how we can recognize that there are fundamental points that we should be developing in a shared way and for the benefit of the rest of creation, but also for the greater understanding that together we can serve God's purposes in life as communities that rely upon our link with the people of Abraham and Sarah, the Jewish community, and seeing how Christianity and Islam have been developing their theology out of that biblical heritage. And so here we are. We are in a situation of great possibilities for communication in our world, but also in situations where spiritual and moral guidance is certainly needed as people enter more and more into development of ecology, development of ecological solutions to problems that have been burdening the human species for considerable time, and we now have dramatic situations where our decisions in the right order can indeed integrate the human life more and more with a sensitivity to the rest of the created world. And so we have in the work of Pope Francis in these two encyclicals, ways of engaging with each other, learning the eternal truths, the ancient heritage, and putting it into the context of our modern world. So I thank you very much, Jay, for Mr. Wilderman, for joining me today and for guiding us through a discussion of the work of Pope Francis. We invite our listeners to be with us again next Sunday for the kinship of Catholics and Jews.
Thank you, Father.